Chapter 14. In the past 2 days since Azen had brought her here, supposedly against her will, Aiden had been interrogated by Staven, the mentor, and Dana. Anticipating this, she and her father had discussed what she was to reveal. Enough to make them believe her when they verified the information, but nothing that would seriously harm the Empire. And so she was free with her information. But despite Staven's gloating near threat on the first night, none of the dreamers told Aiden very much about anything at all. As she sat inside the cave with a pile of old, battered, mismatched armor they had set her to mending, Aiden was beginning to recall her time at Gleb's with fondness. There, at least, she had been granted privacy and permitted to fly. Here, she was not allowed out of the company of at least one of the veteran dreamers. When she left to relieve herself, someone came with her, and everyone slept together in one of the caves. They even made sure that when she prepped her bedroll, she never slept next to Kaeve or any of the other new recruits. She looked up from her tedious task as Azen and Sidori walked over to her. Both bore sacks of something that created angular bulges in the bags. Clearly, it was more armor for her to mend. "Rue and Sidori just got back with these," Azen told her. "Staven wants you to clean them up." They dropped the bundles at her feet. One of the bags opened. A white plastoid helm rolled out. It was spattered with still wet blood. Aiden could smell the coppery reek, but forced a pleased reaction. "One less stormtrooper to worry about," she said.
14 less,
Sidori said, a hint of pride in his voice, then walked away without another word. Azen still stood, and now he thrust another smaller bundle at her.
"Del and Piakau are over in the third cavern, working on one of the ships. Take some food to them."
The sweet smell of ripe fruit mixed with the stench of blood. Aiden stared at him for a moment, then pressed her lips together against a scathing retort. On her way, she passed Piakau, returning to the encampment. He leaned heavily on a walking stick, but his pace was steady.
"Is everything all right?" Aiden inquired.
Piakau waved a small hand.
"There was something I wanted to show Del," he said. His breathing was labored, but his eyes crinkled in a smile. "I'm fine. It just takes me a little longer these days to get from one point to another."
She gave him a look of concern.
"Don't push yourself," she warned.
But inwardly, she was practically turning cartwheels. Finally, a chance to talk to one of her team alone. She picked up her pace, but resisted the urge to break into a jog. She didn't want to attract any attention. He looked up from his work as she entered. "We have a few minutes," she said without preamble, thrusting the sack with fruit and hard-boiled black-shelled eggs at him. "You have to find a way for us to communicate, and you have to do it immediately." Del took the sack and set it down. The ID-10 droid hovered about a meter away, two of its four appendages grasping tools. Del had done his best to alter its stark Imperial appearance with a paint job in shades of white and blood red. It reminded Aiden uncomfortably of the stormtrooper's helm.
"I know," Del replied. "I'm working on it, but Piakau is usually around."
Aiden stepped away slightly, pretending to examine the vessel herself. She stole a glance over her shoulder. No sign of Piakau, though she spotted Halia and Staven engrossed in conversation. "We've all got minders," Aiden murmured. "But I think mine are the worst." She yanked her thoughts back to business. "We need to get this mission going. Rue and Sidori came back with bloody stormtrooper armor for me to fix. Next time I'm afraid they might just leave the head inside and stick it on a pike." Del looked grim at the image that conjured up. "It's nothing compared to the numbers we lost on the Death Star. But for a small, newly formed group, the dreamers are sure making their presence known. Have any of you had to..."
"No, not yet,"
Del replied.
"Just some supply runs that put us against basic security. Nothing big and nothing Imperial.
Yet."
"It's just gonna get worse."
"Have you overheard anything useful?" Aiden asked. "Any idea as to how they're getting their intel? No one's gonna let anything slip around me."
Del wiped his hands and cracked open a shell. I cannot get used to purple eggs with blue yolks, he said. Then, nothing. I haven't been able to talk to Sen alone yet, but I think she may know something. He gestured at the ship. Obviously, they're making use of my technical skills. I do know that Staven's been talking with Gideon... He grimaced. Gid? About piloting, but so far they haven't trusted him enough to test his skills. Once they let me work unsupervised, I might be able to bug the ships. Aiden fought back impatience. By the time they trust me, the war will be over, she said. Hey, he said kindly. It's only been a couple of days. We've all been here much longer. They'll come around. That doesn't help, she said, casting another casual glance back toward the encampment. Halia, who did not look happy, was stalking towards them. Oh, damn it, here comes Halia. They were discussing purple eggs by the time Halia reached them. Over my objections, she said before they could even greet her. Staven has decided to give you a comlink. That was a step in the right direction. Thanks, Aiden said, accepting it. Del fished out his and tossed it at the ID-10, but the droid made no move to catch it. The communication device landed on the stone floor of the cavern and rolled a bit. Del sighed, rising and picking up the comlink and handing it to the droid himself. I need to work on that, he said to Aiden and Halia. Addressing the droid, he said, Hold this. And it reached out one of its slender arms and grasped the proffered tool. The droid will take care of it while I work. I'm trying to make sure this little guy can help out in all kinds of ways. Aiden kept her face neutral, but inwardly she rejoiced. Del had just told her to keep an eye out for the droid. But another day passed without any contact from Del. Aiden was impatient, but she had faith in Del, so until he figured out how to reach her, she focused on learning everything she could about the Dreamers. She was almost certain that Staven was the one who had obtained and was acting on classified information. After all, he was the group's leader, seeking out devastated partisans and pulling them in to become Dreamers. He had known Saw personally and had obviously cared about him. But he was proving to be frustratingly tight-lipped, at least when she was around. Aiden had to hope some of the others were getting more information than she was. Aizen had revealed nothing more to her about how he, a partisan who had known Staven for some time, had managed to infiltrate JSEC. He, too, was high on her list. If he could infiltrate JSEC, he likely had valuable contacts in other areas as well. The human girl Staven had welcomed so warmly was Nadreen. She was, apparently, an explosives expert and the mastermind behind the bombs as jewelry design. Her hair was long, and she usually wore it in a utilitarian braid. Even in the lavender light of constant dusk, Aiden could see that she had quite a lot of freckles. If Staven trusted her with information, she might be a good person to get to know. Dana, the escaped slave, was second in command. Aiden had initially assumed that role belonged to the mentor, but while everyone seemed to have respect for him and even Staven was willing to defer to him on occasion, no one treated him like he gave orders. Both Dana and the mentor seemed to be well-disposed toward all members of the team. Perhaps they would be useful. Aiden found the chatter fan, Pia Cow, to be the most approachable dreamer next to the mentor. He was already chatting comfortably with Del, which interested Aiden. She caught snatches of their conversation and realized they had bonded, or in Del's case, pretended to bond, over the droid and other technology. Staven had said Pia Cow had once been employed by the Empire. It was possible that he had some contacts who still were. She could easily see him having friends who remained fond of him. Aiden realized with chagrin just how much they would have to contribute to the Dreamers if they were going to maintain the facade. She took comfort in knowing that, eventually, the terrorist group would be destroyed, along with their knowledge. They were angry, and angry people did not share information if they didn't also share beliefs. So there was little risk that the Rebel Alliance would learn anything of value that could be laid at Inferno Squad's feet. The Vushan family was among the most reclusive of the group, and Aiden highly doubted they were the leaks. But Aiden had noticed the son, Sidori, sneaking glances at Sen, who responded by catching his eye, smiling shyly, and looking away. Good, Aiden thought. Another possible useful connection. As Staven had mentioned, Kaeve was also a relative newcomer to the group. At one point, when Aiden and a few others were cleaning and inspecting the recent cache of weapons the Pantoran pirate had delivered, along with Del and Gideon, to Geosin, Kaeve had taken her aside.
I know people are suspicious of you, and I know you understand why, but I wanted to thank you in person, he said.
She gazed at him, confused. Thank me? He nodded, his green eyes intense.
Yeah, see, I had family on Alderaan.
Oh, she said sympathetically. He nodded.
When I heard you talking about it in that recording, how it bothered you that so many people died who hadn't even lifted a hand against the Empire, it gave me hope that other people will understand what you do.
Other Imperials? She looked at him doubtfully.
With luck, yeah. But anyone who might take a minute and look beyond all the flag waving, who might decide to stand beside us as we tear down the Empire.
He shrugged, suddenly embarrassed.
Who knows, right?
She gave him a grateful smile. It would be nice to have an ally among the Dreamers in addition to the Mentor. Right. Who knows? The Empire is rotting and corrupt. It must fall as quickly as possible. Doesn't matter who goes down with it. As she spoke the words with what she hoped was earnest conviction, she wondered how long it would take to get used to saying such lies. Since they had been here longer than Aiden, and were perceived to be less of a threat than a known Imperial TIE pilot, the other three were doing much better. As they had all expected, Sen, with her delicate and deceptively open, innocent appearance, had won over most of the group. Nadreen and Dana were demonstrably fond of her, and young Sidori looked to be feeling emotions a bit warmer than that. The Mentor, too, seemed sympathetic toward her. In fact, the only ones who seemed cool towards Sen were Staven and Azin. That wasn't unexpected. Staven, as the leader, would be the most suspicious of the group. And Azin was, well, Azin. Del, too, was well on his way to being accepted. That also didn't surprise Aiden. Del had a calmness and a self-deprecation that put people at ease. Unfortunately, it was Gideon who seemed to be stirring the most resentment. She was fond of him, but she knew better than anyone how arrogant and competitive he could be, and it seemed like something he'd done had already irritated several of the Dreamers. Aiden sighed as she continued to work on repairing armor and even mending flight suits. Come on, Del, she thought. Where the hell is that droid? Goodness, you're industrious, came the pleasant voice of the Mentor. Aiden glanced up at him and shrugged self-deprecatingly. I don't want to be taken out and shot, she said. Well, neither do I, but I got something you might enjoy more than fixing old uniforms. Her smile widened. I'm in. The Mentor took her on a ride about 20 minutes along a narrow, serpentine path through the gnarled trunks of ancient trees, leaving the speeder beneath the overhanging canopy. Come on, he said. It's just a brief walk from here, but it's safer not to leave the speeder out in the open. Do you anticipate visitors? Nah. There's nothing remarkable about this place to attract them. But when you're hunted, and you're few, it's always best to be safe. Even if they don't see you, if someone got close to you, they'd be able to detect you. Our ships and equipment, Aiden said. Don't you worry about that? He chuckled. Nah, we're safe. Even for someone who had lived her whole life on a need-to-know basis, the cryptic nature of the Dreamers rankled. Iden thought it was because this attitude contrasted so vividly with the extreme casualness and friendliness that had been on display earlier. They fell into step together, Iden wearing her night vision goggles, the mentor apparently not needing them. "As Staven told you, until Jedha," he said as they walked, "Saw Guerrera was the face and the voice of the Partisans such as they had. He wasn't overly fond of the spotlight, nor did he have the sort of inclusive personality of his sister, Stila." He smiled a little. "She was astonishing. So much was lost when she died." The smile, too, died as he spoke. "You sound like you knew her," Iden ventured.
"I did. I knew Saw, too. So did my goddaughter."
He shook his dark head ruefully.
"The entanglements among me, people I love, and the Partisans run deep, despite diverging paths."
He turned to her.
"You strike me as being a lot like Stila. Your bearing, your unwillingness to be pushed around. Staven doesn't like to admit it, but he sees it too. You'll be a good face for the Dreamers. But unless you're a secret thespian, you'll probably have to practice first."
Iden felt relief wash over her. She was finally going to become the voice of the Dreamers as her father had expected. Maybe now she'd be privy to the missions the others were departing on so frequently and discover where Staven was getting his information from. But she had to pretend she was still in the dark.
"Hang on a minute," she said.
I'm not sure what you mean. Good face?"
"You're Iden Versio," the mentor said. "You're recognizable. In the past, the Rebel Alliance has had good luck countering Imperial propaganda with the truth of what the Empire truly is. And that was even with mysterious, faceless rebels. When Mon Mothma and Princess Leia became identified with the Rebel Alliance, it gave it a legitimacy it had never had before. Think what the impact would be if you were to speak to the galaxy. You, who were once so firmly an Imperial, now a member of Saw Gerrera's Dreamers."
Iden shook her head. "That's not what I came here for. I'm not some politician or Holovid star. I'm a soldier, a pilot. And I'm top-notch of that, too. You can try me."
"Of course you are. As I said, your career is public knowledge, Iden. We know how good you are at that. And we'll put those skills to use, too, but not until we've got the Empire good and scared, and those who secretly want to overthrow it ready to stand up and fight, maybe die."
"I have to say, I don't think this is one of Staven's better ideas," she said.
"Actually," the mentor replied mildly, "it was mine. As I said, I've seen this tactic used before, with excellent results. It could be said that Saw wasn't the real first rebel leader. That was Stila. It's worked before. And with someone as significant as you, it can work again."
It had been implied when she first arrived that bringing her here had been the mentor's idea. And now he was confirming everything. Why had Staven listened to him? She had been certain the blue-haired man had been the one in charge, calling the shots, using leaked information. Was she wrong about that? They reached the lip of the depression.
"Wait here," the mentor said, and hurried down the sloping canyon walls with the loping grace of a younger man.
He reached the bottom, seeming to her eyes now only a centimeter tall. He turned and faced her.
"This place is a natural amphitheater," he said.
Iden gasped a little, and a smile touched her lips. She could hear him perfectly, and he wasn't even shouting.
"That's amazing!" she yelled back. "Isn't it, though?" he said. "I'll coach you on your body language and extemporaneous speaking. Won't do to have you read from a script. Now you come down and try."
She descended to the bowl where he stood, and he retreated to the top. Once he had settled in, she began.
"Citizens of the Empire," she began.
Her comm link vibrated. She clicked it. No, that's fine, came the mentor's voice. He apparently didn't like to shout. Right now, these people, unfortunately, are citizens of the Empire. Continue. Aiden took a breath. Citizens of the Empire! She yelled. No, speak normally, came the mentor's voice again. Citizens of the Empire, Aiden said in a normal voice. It's not what you think it is. The Empire, I mean, isn't. This, she had not anticipated. She was absolutely horrible at public speaking. Somehow, that possibility had not occurred to her or her father. This had been the sole reason that the Dreamers had taken her from Vardos. Staven had said in no uncertain terms that her life depended on how well she served them. Sudden anger, not at them, not at her father, but at herself, choked her, and she couldn't speak. Then she heard, "Hang on." The small figure at the top headed back down again. When he reached her, he gestured that she step away from the stage. Take a seat. No need to run back to the top. I just want to show you the sort of thing I'm looking for. She obliged, her face growing hot with commingled embarrassment and anger, striding away a bit and then sitting down on the ground. The mentor settled himself and struck a pose, standing perfectly straight and lifting his head high. People of the galaxy. His voice was strong and vigorous, laced with passion. For too long, we have labored under the brutal yoke of the Empire. Under the guise of offering aid, it has dragged us world by world, system by system, on its hideous march of narcissistic greed, promising opportunity, and instead sucking us dry. Instead of improving our livelihoods and our lives, it has destroyed them both. Even stooping to the depravity of wiping out entire planets. Alderaan, you are not forgotten! Aiden leaned forward, her own worry eased by the power of the performance unfolding in front of her, settling her elbows on her knees and her chin in her hands. She couldn't tear her gaze away from the slim, elegant figure and his impassioned words. We remember you too, Jedha City. The Empire has shown us that no place in this galaxy, not a world full of defenseless civilians or an ancient sacred site, no place is safe from the malice of the Emperor's dark heart or the greed of those who grow rich and fat by plundering worlds. This must end. The hairs on the back of Aiden's neck lifted. Not just from the power of the words, propaganda though they were, or the sonorous voice rapping them in melodic tones from a heart that bled with genuine loss. She realized now why the mentor used a false name. And now she understood why he was not the leader, why he stayed behind when the others ventured forth, facing danger. Aiden was listening to someone who knew how to give speeches, someone who likely had once been known. He wanted Aiden to do what he couldn't do for some reason she didn't yet understand, to speak out against the Empire, inspiring with words and passion and presenting a strong, certain mien. He was a man in hiding. He was someone important. Aiden was gonna find out who.